So, as we were sitting in Zikr, you know, it of course came to me to say, from Mohsin's beautiful question, that struggle is really something of perception. And if we call struggle the movement of life, as I was referring to in the baby's life in the womb, and this, of course, this world is really a womb, that's the movement of life. But then later, as we become a little older, as we're born, and really after childhood more, because you don't really see children struggling so much. They play and they dance and they cry, but they don't really feel like they're struggling or making effort to do that. So it's a little bit later that that sense of having to do or to pull oneself in a certain direction. But that's really a temporary state, because again, it's always that looking deeper and inwardly. You know, Allah is doing everything. That's why we can remove some of that burden of that feeling of struggle if we recognize that, that we're not doing, really. We're not doing anything. We think we're doing. We think we're making efforts. But in reality, we're not. We're just moving with a divine movement. So I think that would help us too, to really keep our gaze on the divine movement. So you did not throw when you threw. It was Allah who threw. So when we offer our prayers, we are not the ones really doing that. And that's, of course, the level of the mystic. So inshallah. May we live our life from there, simply as living the one divine life that Sheikh Noor would say. It's such a beautiful expression. Living your life alone, Allah. And moving with the divine flow, inshallah. And so that, that burden of the doership, or the one who has to do, is removed from us. Inshallah. That's a true request.
I think what I was just saying was, you know, myself feeling that one has to be very careful and honest too, because it's really easy to fall into, I mean, I'm speaking for myself,
yeah,
fall into complacency about being passive and
that's true,
not exerting effort.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you mean that
it can be kind of defensive to say I'm not going to.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, one could really drift. You know, whereas the Sharia is the clear markers, as we read, I think, the other night in the Kushairi class. And so we, if we say, well, I'm not making effort, I'm just moving with Allah's flow, but we're not fulfilling the Sharia, then there's something, as you say, deceptive, self-deceptive. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. But I would maybe extrapolate that, not just to...
Okay, say more. Go ahead.
I would extrapolate that maybe not just to the religious observances,
mm-hmm,
or the, let's say, like the...
Mm-hmm.
Actualization of the Sharia, but
mm-hmm,
also to whatever one does in life.
Well, there's the Sunnah. You have the Sunnah. You know, I mean, the Sunnah embraces all life situations. And but in other words, say more, Mohsin. What's your own experience?
Well, I don't know. I think I feel very moved as well by what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier about the, you know, just kind of constantly the inner effort,
right,
and constantly kind of,
right,
turning, because that's
right, right,
you know, there's
right, mm-hmm,
there's,
mm-hmm,
I mean, that's a much greater effort in a lot of ways
that's,
than to,
yeah,
just,
yeah,
you know, be restless and do this
oh,
and
right.
do that.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
That's true. Or that's the effort that really counts. You know, there's those passage in Quran which is really worrisome, it should be, to all of us, really, that says, you know, the people who think they've done good and have not, you know, that it's an illusion. Well, that, you know, that really makes one stop to contemplate, you know, and not to just assume that one is doing good, whether even in the performance of, you know, acts of worship or in doing good, so-called, in the world. I mean, to really say, you know, to bring a dose of doubt, self-doubt, and only Allah knows, ultimately, you know, really. We can't, therefore, in a way, it prevents us from giving credit to ourselves in any form. Yeah, and just always being the, you know, the needy ones, the ones who ask Allah for help, the ones who turn to Allah for forgiveness, the ones who rely on Allah, trust in Allah, but don't trust themselves. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very healthy, healthy state.
Not even trust our sincerity.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You can say, I'm really being sincere, but
mm-hmm.
how sincere is sincere?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not something that most people want. Mm-hmm. Because it seems, you know, like one is, in a certain sense, one is in a kind of constant insecurity. But, you know, I always, and I've said this many times, that our one security is Allah's mercy. That's, and that is the security beyond all securities. So that we can rely on, absolutely. And if we don't rely on ourselves, Allah's mercy will become more and more evident to us and more actively engaging with us, I think. But
well, you know, Sheikh, I was thinking about that this morning because it's also possible that we take Allah's mercy too much for granted.
Hmm.
And because we know Allah is so merciful, it is the all-merciful, that we can get kind of lazy with that.
Oh,
you know,
mm-hmm.
so merciful.
That's an interesting point.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like I am not really feeling very energetic about what I'm doing today.
That's
know,
true.
But Allah is all merciful. So not to push it, you
that
know?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, Mariam. Well, so that, you know, you might be a friend, but you'd be a lazy friend, maybe. You know, so there are all kinds of friends of God.
Oh, gosh.
And there are the friends we just read in that of Hujwiri, you know, the one Junaidi Baghdadi, who would not stop his, you know, his prayers and tesbihs, and so much so that even though it was depleting him, probably physically or exhausting him, but, you know, out of that sense of servanthood. So, you know, and Hazreti Pir has an expression too. I can't really say it in Turkish now, but beware after usul, I mean, after union, he rhymes it with the usul. You know, beware after usul, not to give up the usul. Those who, you know, in other words, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You reach a state, and we all do, of spiritual comfort that you didn't have maybe when you began, and you know, you go through tumultuous times, and then you come into a kind of valley of comfort, and you're right, that can be a trap or a halting place, you know, and you can halt there a long time. That's the thing. There's no end to the spiritual path, and there's no let's say, maybe that's enough said, there's no end to the spiritual path. And so we should never think we've arrived,
mm-hmm.
you know, or that's, we can relax now.
So talking about the outward sign of, I guess, sincerity, the effort, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
effort, because I think I read somewhere that he used to stand in Salah till his ankles were swollen. He is the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Also in the Quran, I'm not sure which ayah, where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, those who want my paradise and do the effort that takes them there. So our effort is also important. I think it just confirms what's inside. Ourselves want to prostrate. Because, you know, when you're free...
Wait, ourselves want to? You're saying?
Yeah, naturally, because they know, you know, their Lord. You know, sometimes when you have intense feelings, whether it's fear, whether it's joy, without even your control, you can feel goosebumps, things are happening with your body that you don't really control. So I think sometimes the urge to prostrate, the urge to be in outward worship is not just your own mind thinking. These cells, Allah says it in Surah Yasin also, even your limbs will testify against you, good or bad. So sometimes you're just perhaps in sync, inshallah, we will be in sync with all those cells, you know, and inshallah prostrate, as he said, prostrate to the last minute. From experience mom, the outward signs of worship are also important. The effort is important, I've noticed. Yes, because getting comfortable, you know, with tariqah is a higher level.
That's
without sharia, tariqah wouldn't stand. I mean, I think tariqah doesn't supersede sharia, it just confirms it. It's important to follow the sharia, because that's our self-trusting place. If you don't know anything, we know that sharia is safe.
It's
I even read somewhere that sometimes the sunnah for the people of tariqah becomes almost like the sharia, basically. You know how sometimes you're so used to doing two rakah before prayer? It just comes so naturally that it becomes, you know, part of our salah almost. Instead of doing the four rakah for zuhr, we're always used to doing extra rakah. It becomes so much of a habit. And I think it's beneficial.
You're absolutely
Every
right.
Alif is beneficial.
Everyone?
You know? Alif.
Alif.
Yes, I hear there's so many guardian angels around each half of the Quran. So the more you recite, the better. Can't hurt.
Right, very true.
But we read yesterday in Kushari's tafsir. He said if you go from one level to the next, and if you're, you know, if you're trying to make effort and trying to do things, like from a place of effort, it can actually impede your, you know, it can take you away from your like a higher level of consciousness or awareness.
I think it's the thing of being the doer, don't you think? That it means that, rather than the actual... Because for some, 100 rekats would not be an effort, whereas for others it would be almost impossible.
Doing, it's the doing, it's the effort,
That's what gets in the way,
I
think
exactly.
That concept of
but
I am doing this.
In my experience, I think it's important. I mean, that's why I liked what... which Viri wrote in that thing that for the, you know, I mean, I personally look at myself, I look at the lower self, you know, very present. So for me at that point, it's very important to really focus and try to concentrate my thoughts, especially when doing the prayer, because that's one place, I mean, the Salat especially, that's one place where you just go, your mind just gets so distracted. You know, especially if you wake up Fajr prayer in the morning and you've slept maybe like at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock and you're waking up at 4 or 5, it's very difficult to concentrate. But I think, you know, the way I look at it, if you have a job, you know, you'll be up and you'll have your coffee and you'll concentrate and you'll focus and you'll do it. So it requires effort.
So what?
It requires effort at that level. You know, if you are at a higher level, great. I mean, good for you. But I think you know.
No, you're right. You're right.
But I mean, I think it's important to.
It's well, your priority
to be
too. What is your priority?
Yeah, and exactly. I mean, you know, I remember one of the babas from Turkey said. He said, if you are a lover of God, you want to do more.
Right.
What's the basic five times?
But that's what I mean. You see, at that point, do you call it effort? I mean, they're different. We can have different understandings of effort. And that's what I'm saying, that if, is effort the thing that we experience, that it's burdensome? Is that what effort is? Or is effort simply, you know, much worship? So
I
don't think for the... They might... You know, like, take a mother. I mean, the experience of a mother who would wake up in the night for her child or not sleep. I mean, most mothers or parents, it's not just the mothers when they're, but can you call that an effort? Because they're so pulled, which is coming to what Umm Malik was saying. But even though it's tiring, they're very tired, you know, and as she used that beautiful example of Rasulullah, peace be upon him, you know, where his legs would get heavy for the amount of prayer. But I wonder in his soul if he felt he was making effort. I don't know. I don't feel so. I feel he was just compelled almost, you know.
Is the missing link in intentions, though? Because one could say that effort for the sake of effort might be one doing something
right.
just because they want to
yeah.
put, you know, points on the scoreboard, so to
right.
speak.
Right.
Whereas the idea of effortlessness being something where your intentions or niyats are pure,
uh-huh.
and you're doing it because it's the right thing to do, because you're willed to do.
Right.
So it could be
somehow you've connected your will to the divine will, and therefore you're pulled. The movement from within.
But sometimes that movement from within requires a little bit. It's like almost like you have to get something started.
Well, that's true. No, that is very true. I mean, again,
yeah.
it depends where we are
yeah.
in that moment. Absolutely.
The
you have to inspire yourself.
Yeah, just
sometimes.
Inspire yourself
yeah.
a little bit, and then.
Right.
And that's why I like what Ibn Arabi says. He says that if you get that first inspiration, then put effort in and try to be constant.
Right.
And if you're constant,
right.
then you will be annihilated
yeah.
in the oneness.
Mm.
And then you will be one of the knowers. I mean, that's
yeah,
the four
I mean,
sort of levels.
Alhamdulillah.
So maybe it's a continuous process.
Yeah.
Right?
It's
yeah.
definitely a combination. Umm Malik, you have something strong to
yes,
say.
Yes, I was going to say, the within place also isn't really... has veil. We talk about 7,000 veils.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Inshallah, may Allah grant us
yeah.
unveiling.
True.
So we can, you know, reach
mm-hmm.
even that within to do things, you know,
right.
naturally, to let it come out naturally.
Right.
Because there are veils. It's it's physical.
I agree. But let's say within is, let's say, our desire, our more prevailing desire. So let's say we love Allah. So that's something that we feel, of course, within and without, but it's something that pushes from within our heart or moves from within our heart. Now, let's say meeting that, we're tired, you know, but we follow that movement of the love rather than the being tired. So that would be called an effort.
Right.
Or what do you see?
Even that love could be veiled. I think the love
mm-hmm.
is there, it's innate. That's how we
well, that's what I'm saying. It's innate. But
yeah.
then, are you saying move? Well, sure. Are you saying there's a level where even one should just do it without even being motivated? Is that what you're saying?
Oh. Sometimes, you know, the love even could be veiled.
I
it's
see.
In there.
Yeah.
Because we go through so much in dunya, so many
right.
distractions.
Right. Yeah.
And sometimes,
true.
You know, there are things that just put a veil, a physical
right.
veil.
True.
For some people, when the veil is removed, they feel it. It's like the layer being peeled off.
Right.
You feel it coming off your chest.
Right.
You know, some sneezing out. There are ways to feel it physically.
Right.
And you feel clearer.
Right.
You feel clearer. You can
right.
feel it in your speech, in your thoughts, in how things flow.
Right.
You know, may Allah grant us unveiling and purification.
Amen.
I guess unveiling is really goes to purification.
Right.
Islam is al-din al-khalis. Islam is a pure religion.
Right.
That's why we have all these, you know, ablution, wudu,
right.
you have the big ablution, janab.
Right.
It's very detailed, Islam.
Very
you know,
true.
It is,
it
is.
True.
You know, there are ways, Islam is just that type of fashion, so it requires
right.
a certain adapt. If
yeah.
you were, let's say, not to make the effort of making ablution,
right.
you want to stand up for salah, wallahi,
yeah.
wouldn't have the same effect.
Right.
Because
that's
Islam,
very true.
It doesn't work.
But I don't think we're saying that. Let's not be mistaken.
Effort,
that's
effort,
yeah. But I don't think we're talking about becoming sloppy or heedless. No. I mean, that's not effortlessness. I think when I say effortlessness, that's another level. That's the level where you are pulled. But I'm sure in the beginning of the path, there is a lot of effort, you know, that's applied. So... And maybe in throughout one's life, I mean, we see Junaidi Baghdadi. So, but he was compelled. I call that compulsion. It's a different. I don't know. It's coming from a different place. I think. Yeah. Maybe you have some. Mm-hmm.
I think the effort, as long as there is this I here,
I, yeah.
There is effort completely, absolutely
yeah.
necessary.
Yeah.
And for our part, for his part, it's effortless because
yeah.
we cannot do that for.
Right.
So the Merabi says that I was brought here.
Right.
He said those are the true one, and those that they say I made it, but they are not the
right.
true one.
Right.
So
right.
It's a leap that only he can do. So
right.
true religious essence in many forms.
Uh-huh.
So I feel that it's
there are
his
stages
part is effortless. Our part is completely
yeah.
effort.
Effort.
And he says if it's
mm-hmm.
the last day, you have a seed in your hand.
Plant it. That's true.
That's
yeah.
There are levels.
There are levels.
There are levels. You
yeah.
know, there's a part, Muhammad, it will require you taking a first step. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take a step towards me, I run towards
yes,
you.
Yes, yes.
I mean, Hazrat Musa
yes.
alayhi salam, before he parted the Red Sea, he had to trust and put his
sure.
foot in first. The effort has to be made. Even for those who sometimes go in retreat, and
right.
it's talk, Ibn Arabi, rahmatullahi, talks about it in Journey to the Lord of Power.
Right.
You know, initially, there's effort that you do make. There's set
right.
of practices that you must do, a certain
sure.
moment that you must do at a certain
sure.
time. So there's conscious effort that you do.
Right.
And at some point, while you're traveling, even,
yeah.
you know, Journey to the Lord of Power, as he said,
yeah.
at some point you are taken with
right.
the, you know, rahmah of intercessors. You know,
right.
you would see whether you're Shaykh or the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taking you into
right.
higher rank.
Right.
But initially, you need
yeah,
to
Yeah, initially.
Effort.
That's very true. That's
you need to
very
effort.
True. Of course, that's true, Imam Malik. Yeah.
One time, Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar were sitting, and somebody brought them food, and they started
mm-hmm.
eating it. But then they found out that it had been, the food was brought by money that was owed from an astrologer.
Mm-hmm.
So they spat the food. They actually stuck
mm-hmm.
their fingers in their throats, and they vomited the food
mm-hmm.
out. But you know, and so that's how they were. I feel like they don't have a choice in doing that. If somebody today found out that they eat food that was forbidden,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't suggest that you know vomit it out and be that zealous. But like they didn't have a choice. Like in their minds,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
if you brought them
mm-hmm.
that food and that was forbidden, they couldn't keep it in their
right.
body because
yeah, they didn't take the permissions at all. That's
right.
what they said. Yeah.
And for when Hazrat Umar found out that wine was forbidden, he was drinking at the time. So he spat it immediately out of his mouth. You know?
Who did that?
Umar in Rahmatullah he spat out the wine and all the Muslims poured the wine down the streets of
mm-hmm.
Medina
mm-hmm.
once the command became forbidden. But I would say somebody today, living today, if they have to give up alcohol, they might want to do it in a slow way or medically, you know,
right.
supervised or something.
Right, right.
Rather than, you know, going cold turkey. So
right.
I guess their faith is much higher than ours.
Yeah, that's why we look to them. Alhamdulillah, that's yeah, that's true. But the question of inspiration is very important, you know, because if we can inspire ourselves, and I think that's very important. Mujahid did mention that at a certain point, that, you know, if you, let's say, feeling tired or lazy or unmotivated, you can actually, and that was what earlier I was speaking about going within and looking within, you can actually inspire yourself to come forth and you know, and follow the Sharia. So it's a very, yes, within there are veils, but we have to keep orienting within. And of course, you can say, well, we offer the Sharia, we don't even have to know why, just because Rasulullah, peace be upon him, offered it, and because we know. But where does that knowledge come? It comes from within. If we read, I mean, many people read that, and it's not touching. That what makes it touch is because it's connecting to the inner, you know, that inner light. So it's the outer light, in a certain sense, manifest as these signs and as this teaching and knowledge connecting to the inner. So we must keep referring to the inner and going inner and, you know, really locate there. I don't know. That's what I feel. Otherwise, it becomes pure obligation, you know.
At some point, it's helpful to just obey blindly initially.
But you're not obeying blindly, Umma Malik. You you are
initially,
not
you know, sometimes.
No, you're not.
Sure. When it says, "Qalu sami'na wa ahtana," we hear and we obey. We didn't talk about processing yet.
Yeah,
we
but
hear.
We have to hear. Do you know what it takes to hear something? It doesn't mean that you hear just with your ears. And Allah says that there, you know, many people are hearing, but they're not hearing really, because we hear and we obey. Is because means we hear with the ears of our heart. Otherwise, we would never be able to obey. I mean, except in the ultimate, that everyone is a slave of Allah. But I mean the commands. So, yeah, I don't, the blind, you know, then of course you have levels, you know, the level that said you've submitted your wills. But, you know, you can submit your will because you're afraid, because,
right.
you know, or
yes.
because of convention, conformity.
Revolution.
And so you do your 5 daily prayers because your whole society is, and you're going to feel bad if you don't. But that inner thing that brings you to it, that is the level that comes, you know, from the light of the mu'min. And so it's different.
Sheikh,
okay.
If I may share this. I had some times of despair, so to speak.
Yeah,
but
you've had times of what?
You know, early in Aram illness, you know, initially.
Oh, yeah.
When I first went to Senegal with the
right.
accident,
oh,
I didn't have time to reach anywhere. Hmm. All I knew was I was blind. This is what
right.
I should do every day.
Right.
So I would do my salah. I have to do my tasbih.
Right.
Without that, I don't know where will I be today.
Of course,
I didn't even think about it.
That's
I don't know
a
what
high level of faith. That's what you think it's blind. That's a high level of faith to do that.
Oh, alhamdulillah. That helped me. That not
today.
Course. I don't have time. Not trying to.
Yeah.
Think.
No. Figure it out and
no,
and
I
make.
I just did the basic and hopefully.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
The basic is so high, but you did. I mean, to that's what I call more the compulsion, but the divine compulsion. You know. That you knew this, I just have to do this, and that's all. You didn't have a choice, almost. So that you call that blind, in a way, it's the higher level of blind. It's like the blind in our morning weird. You know, they are blind and they do not return. Those blind people do not return to the worldliness, to the dunya. So, if one is really blind, you don't do that. I mean that I think that, you know, because you say, Umu Malik, alhamdulillah. Yeah. Sometimes I don't think you see how high that is.
I wanted to say something about this idea of laziness, because Kabir told me a story a couple weeks ago about this man who was very lazy and he didn't want to go to work. And he didn't have any food to eat. So he turned to Allah and he said, Allah, you made me lazy, so you have to bring me my food. And Allah did. And I'm wondering if that also works on this level. So in terms of the effortlessness, even when we don't feel.
But you realize the degree of faith and trust that that person had to rely on Allah. Because most of us, when we get a little hunger pang, we'd be running out and making a lot of effort to get some food. But that one, you know, I mean, what appeared as laziness was really something deeper. Maybe in him, he wanted to taste that state of total passivity before Allah, total receptivity. So, you know, he said, Allah, you bring me my food. You know, I consider that a high state too. Really, the person who relies on Allah totally, who doesn't, and that is given sometimes. I mean, that's a certain station. And like Umu Malik said, it's so rich. I mean, the path is so rich. And there's so many different spiritual doors, so many doors to Allah. Allah has provided so many doors from all the beings so that, and Allah gives us, holds these opportunities for us to come and to return and to, so you know, I don't know if there will be many people we'll be surprised at. They'll be in high paradise and they'll say, maybe someone like that, and Allah will say, yes, this is my beloved servant who trusted in me that I would give him his food or her food, so I put her in a very high paradise, you know, to be near to me. So I mean, that's why I say we have to keep that complete openness to the countless ways that Allah has of bringing humanity. Otherwise, we become too narrow. And, you know, and ourselves then become coercive and judgmental.
I was reading in Sheikh Muzaffar's book, Ishaq, and he said that on the day of resurrection, even the prophets and the awliya will be surprised because they will find a people
mm-hmm.
who will be sharing paradise with them.
Uh-huh.
And they'll be like, who are these people? And they're like, these people just love each other for the sake of
oh,
God.
Wow. Yeah.
So
yeah.
they had the same
yeah.
maqam in
Mashallah.
In the next life. Mashallah. And the prophets. And the,
Mashallah.
And the other thing that I always liked
uh-huh.
about Sheikh Muzaffar that he said that at the four levels, you could, he said you can enter from any of the different levels. You could either come from the level of Marifah or the Hakikah or the Tariqah or the Sharia. So
enter where? Enter paradise? You
no,
mean?
Enter into the path or enter, you know,
uh-huh.
I remember this is actually Imam Faisal once said. He said that Sheikh Muzaffar said that, you know, you can come through the door of Sharia, you can come through the door of Tariqah, you can come through the door of Hakikah,
uh-huh.
or you can come through the door of Marifah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, and some people come through the door of Hakikah, and some
yeah.
people come
right.
through the door of Marifah.
No, that's
I mean, you've said this too, but you
mm-hmm.
know, this is Sheikh Muzaffar, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He says, well,
it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, 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 alhamdulillah.
But he does say the proper way is to come through the door of Sharia.
Oh, he says that. Yeah,
yes.
yeah. No, of course. He said to enter the house.
Says,
what?
To enter the house.
It does not say the proper way. He says the best adab is the door of Sharia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Adab.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a big difference.
Yeah.
yeah. right.
I don't know where it's said, but there's two ways for a bird to fly. So
yeah.
one is effort and the other one is grace, just like
yeah, one is effort and one is grace. That's
so
beautifully
always
said.
Have to go together.
Beautifully
yeah.
said.
Until
yeah.
until you come into knowing.
Yeah, no, well,
it doesn't matter if you drink the wine and if you eat the halal or the halal or whatever the young person is saying. At that point, it's all really.
No,
okay.
not in this path.
No,
not in this path. That's a very
yeah.
interesting
yeah.
that you bring that up.
Yeah.
In some paths. But in this path, we keep, that's why you keep the Shariat, but it becomes the marifat of the Shariat, you know. So the Shariat, from the Shariat, is a very hard and heavy thing. And Sheikh Muzaffar says that too in Irshad. The Tariqat of the Shariat is already, it lightens the Shariat, the Hakikat, marifat. You never come to the place where you just don't follow the Shariat.
No, that's not what I meant.
Oh, no.
I guess on a personal level,
right.
individual perhaps.
Right.
I'm
not saying we don't, or like I'm, you know, I'm just saying that's the teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
go ahead.
That.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's many stories, like, of what, teachers or gurus or whatever.
Sure.
They would drink poison and it would not touch them because
right.
the highest state
right.
of unity.
Right.
So once you're in the state of unity, yeah, you follow the other perhaps.
Right, yeah.
Or who's around you, and what you
yeah.
know, what your life means to the community or to
right.
your service or whatever
right.
you're doing, you,
right.
you know, depending on your path.
Yeah.
And you're a teacher, you're a silent one, are you a dancer, you, whatever you are, you know.
Yeah.
So you take different forms.
Of course, of course, of course. And, you know, many of the friends of God drink wine. I mean, let's not say, even in the Islamic field, but I mean, Muzaffar Effendi, rahmatullah alayhi, said, you know, as I told this story many times, we would take him to the plaza to have tea and cake, and he loved it, and the dervishes would come, and we'd all be sitting there running. And once there was this chocolate cake that came out, and Baji Sultan turned to him and said, oh, I think it has alcohol in it. And he just turned to her and he said, what is one drop of wine compared to an ocean of intoxication, meaning himself? So that was a case where he, but Effendi, on the other hand, was one of the most scrupulous Muslims, you know. But he didn't advertise it. He hid it. He hid his greatness. He hid his miracles. He hid his Sharia. He hid it. And he was a Malami on the outside. You know, he'd wear the gold watch, and because we're not supposed to wear gold if you're a man in Islam.
Well, it's, you know, it's impacting humanity in a large scale. So
what?
He was impacting humanity in a large scale.
Yes,
in a,
absolutely.
So he has to maintain
well,
that
for, you know, many reasons. Some people say because he, if you know, if he didn't do the, he would be, so, I mean, he was a prophet, you know, he was like the prophet said, like some of my saints are like prophets. He was so powerful, but he was in a time and a culture where, you know, he could have gone off in the desert and just been like, you know, this exalted saint, but no, so he clothed himself in the common, in the clothes of the common man, you know. So, alhamdulillah. But anyway, alhamdulillah, mashallah.
I just might add one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He tells us to do or not to do, has a reason. Sometimes we don't understand, sometimes it's not explained. That's why we believe in the mystery, because we trust Him. And there are sources and there are sinks. We are just energy field, you know. And there are sources of good energy, like zikr, prayer, the sun, looking at the ocean, and there are sinks of good energy as well. Either food, sometimes some food might be more draining, other kind of food might give you more energy. At a certain level, there's a strict observation of halal and haram. And halal and haram is just sources and sinks of good energy. There are certain things, at a certain level, you cannot go, let's say, without ablution. You cannot take food from somebody without ablution. Because it is said that the good energy doesn't flow when there is not that level of purity, ritual purity even.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be mindful of the sources and the things, because sometimes it nullifies our efforts. You know what I mean? Let's
it
say
nullifies, you said.
I'm
yeah,
saying so.
That's true.
It says it also in the Quran. Sometimes
that's
it
true.
Puts a lot of effort, and then if a little, how you say, heedless.
Yeah, you know, heedlessness.
Yeah,
well, then.
Yeah, we have to be aware, because we produce it. We have a lot of effort is made into coming to zikr, doing your salah,
mm-hmm.
consciously and from within.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, as Rabi Adouya was saying, Rahmatullahi, the doorkeeper of the heart.
Yeah.
You have to preserve that.
Yeah.
You know.
That's true.
In a place of purity, food that are recommended.
Mm-hmm.
There are levels, you know, within people, within food, within spaces, higher and lower. It's true. That's how He made His world. And He says it. Although everything is for us, but because we are Bani Adam, hopefully we'll aspire to what's a little more elevated.
True.
Because that's our true nature. So I think raising awareness on that is helpful on the path.
Very
because
helpful.
It slows you down.
Yeah.
It's
very helpful. That's true.
Some people, even if you close their eyes blind, you put one drop of alcohol in water, no smell, they take a sip, their body will reject it. They will throw it, their body will reject it, even if they don't know what it is. You give them pork, their body will reject it. That's just the way it is. And it's true.
Yeah. Is it possible to, for us to praise and say Bismillah, the thing, to be able to affect these energies and change and transmute?
Yes, of course, of course. And, oh, you're saying that there's not an absolute. Well, I mean, even in Quran it says, if you're in dire straits, you know, you can, you know, after listing what you shouldn't eat, and those are just the big categories. It says, but if you're in absolute need, you know, you eat rather than starve. At least, but it gives that permission. But the Bismillah, yes, Effendi said that. Food that has, because he came to this country and his babas were saying, you know, but how can we eat the food here? It's not killed in halal way. So Sheikh Muzaffar said, well, you say Bismillah Rahman Rahim over the food before you eat it. That makes it halal. But of course, if we, you know, of course he would himself, I'm sure, say, well, it's better, of course, if animals are killed in ways that are merciful and with prayer. And that it's not that, you know, is advocating not abiding by the ways, but rather that what you do in each circumstance, you know, that it is flexible. The main thing is your intention, certainly, ultimately. But it's true. But I mean, Umm Malik, you know, is alhamdulillah pointing to more consciousness and vigilance, and that grows naturally. That's the thing. It grows naturally in dervishes. But, of course, you know, it must be encouraged, and they have to know what there is to do.
There's the right and the left. It talks about in Surah Al-Waqia, and it also talks about Ashab al-Maymana, Ashab al-Yamini, Ashab al-Shimali, the people of the right, the people of the left. even in for those who are sensitive to energy,
mm-hmm.
if energy enters you, let's
mm-hmm.
say negative energy always enters to from the left side,
mm-hmm.
even that knows
right.
the balance.
Right.
Do not transgress the balance.
Right. Right.
Even, do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know.
Yes.
Right.
Voilà.
Yeah.
So everything has a balance.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely, and
when
everything has.
When you sleep on your right side, what it nourishes,
yeah.
where the blood flows,
yeah.
everything is carefully calculated for
right.
our well-being.
That's true.
You know, so
that's true.
That's the universal balance. It's in Suratul Rahman.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's
right.
the universal balance. There's right and there's left.
Right.
There's people
right.
of the right, there's people of
right.
the left.
But
people
but on the people of the right and there's good and there's better. And then there's
absolutely.
Good, better, and best. And on the people of the left, there's bad, and there's worse, and there's the worst. You know, so
yeah.
there and there's people on the left who can come to the right. And but I know what you're saying. But each, they're so specific, you know. That's why we can't burden dervishes excessively with too many details. Because those we acquire, I mean, Allah feeds, we are in tariqa. Once you have taken hand, and again, not pointing to laziness, to say just coast along, because there are a lot of lazy dervishes, you know, and that's not good. So, but if we strive enough with our tesbih, with our prayers, and we will be moved, we will be given and matured. We're on a vine. We are the grapes on a vine. So we come sour, and hard and, you know, small. But the vine of the tariqat, it's immense. It's immense. But yes, we do have to make effort, absolutely, in order to receive that sun so that we become sweet and become plump and beautiful and attractive to Allah. You know, so absolutely. It's true. We have to make effort. But you know, we will be guided. But we have to learn the basics. That is absolutely right. We have to learn the basics. And then each one of us will, through our own spiritual appetite, seek out, you know, what the deeper or more fine, refined forms of worship are. But we need to teach the basics, absolutely.